Okay, let us recite and pay our homage to the Buddha by reciting Namo Tassa three times. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Before I continue my yesterday's talk, I would like to share with you one story first. There was an American businessman went to Africa to do his business. And when he arrived at Africa, he entered into a forest and he saw so many parrots, talking parrot. And he likes very much. And with the help of his African friends, he caught one parrot. And he brought the parrot back to America and keep the parrot in a cage. Every day he feed him good food and talk to the parrot. And the parrot is very happy now. And after 2 years, he went back to Africa again. Then he asked the parrot, because the parrot know how to talk. He said, do you have any message you want to convey to your parrot friends in Africa? I can convey your message to them. Then the parrot said, okay, tell my friends in Africa, I'm very happy living in the cage. Okay? Then the businessman went to Africa and went to the same forest again, and he met many parrots. And he talked to one parrot. He said that your friend in America living with me want to convey his message to all of you. He said that he is very happy living inside the cage. And one of the parrots, when he heard about this, he immediately died of heartbroken. The heart is broken and he died immediately. And this businessman went back to America, and when he arrived there, he talked to the parrot. The parrot asked him, do you convey my message? Yes. Then what is my friend's response? He said, your friend died immediately after listening to your message. And this parrot, when he heard his friend die immediately after listening to his message, he felt so sad and also died in the cage. And the businessman was very shocked. Wow, he feels so sad because he has been living very well close to this parrot. Then he opened the cage. The moment he opened the cage, the parrot fly out from the cage, flew out. And the businessman said, you cheat me. You cheat me. Then the parrot said that, my friend in Africa brought me a message. Then the businessman said, what is the message? Then the parrot answered, you got to die in order to reborn. This is the message my parrot friend brought to me. You got to die in order to reborn. This is the message. I don't know how much you understand the message. Do you understand the message? Okay, we can interpret this from different aspects, different angle. First of all, the cage. What is the meaning of cage? For your situation, the layman life is the cage. Layman life is the cage. In Burmese, like married life, we call indaujia. Indaujia means you are put into prison. Once you get married, you are put into prison. This Burmese word, the meaning is like that. So when you live a layman life, you are living in a cage. Now, you already dead as a lay person. Now, you have died already as a lay person. Now, you are reborn as a renunciate. So you die in order to reborn. So we can interpret in this way. Another way of interpretation, you must die of what? You must die of your old perception about the world. What you perceive the world before you die? How you perceive the world? I believe that most of us perceive the world as permanent, right? As happiness, as having a self. This is how we perceive the world. Now, after enter into the dispensation of Buddha's teaching, after enter into the dispensation of Buddha, sasana, Buddha's teaching, you have to die. Die of your distorted perception of the world is happy. The world is permanent. The happiness is permanent. And there's a self experience all the sensual pleasures in the world. This old perception, you die with it once you become renunciate, once you become samanera and samaneri. And you are reborn with new perception of perceive the world according to the truth. What's the truth? The world is impermanent, not lasting. The happiness you previously perceived is not lasting at all. Right? So you perceive in a new way according to the truth that this world is full of suffering. It's not you previously perceived as happiness. And it's also impermanent. Whatever phenomena that you encounter, whether from your eyes, nose, ear, tongue, body, and mind, are also changing all the time. I think you are old enough to experience the impermanence of the life, right? You are not newly born baby. You know? Your life told you that everything changed. The only thing unchanged is change itself. Then the last thing, no one experienced this suffering and happiness in the world. It's just a phenomena rolling on. Everything occurs in a cause and effect relationship. Not permanent self that experience all the happiness and suffering in life. So you die of your old perception. You die of your distorted perception and reborn again in a new perception of seeing things as impermanent, suffering, and non-self. This is the story I want to convey to you. Are you able to die in order to reborn? No answer. Are you able to die in order to reborn? You should say, we will try. You say, we will try. So you should ready to give up the old perception of permanent happiness and suffering and self. And live and see in this world in a new way that everything is impermanent. And what's impermanent cannot bring suffering. What's impermanent cannot bring happiness. And what's impermanent suffering cannot be regarded as a self having the control over all phenomena. So, as a renunciate, samanera and samaneri now, please die of your layman life and to reborn as a renunciate with new perception, with new way of seeing things in this world. Okay, now I will continue the Dhamma talk from yesterday. Yesterday we mentioned that we have to, as a practitioner, we must develop sati, mindfulness. And there are four bases, there are four foundations or four causes or places for you to develop mindfulness. We cannot simply develop mindfulness without object, right? So what are the four bases or four foundations? Number one?
Body.
Good. Second?
Feeling.
Body we call kaya nupasana sati patthana. Since you are asamanera now, you have to learn some Pali, right? Please repeat. Kaya nupasana sati patthana. Again? Kaya kanu pasana sati patthana. Okay, let me explain. Kayu pasana, kaya anu pasana, sati patthana. Kaya anu pasana. Anu mean repeatedly, pasana mean seeing, kaya mean body. Repeatedly seeing the body as it is. As it is. As it is. What is as it is? Anicca, dukkha, anatta. Impermanent, suffering, and non-self. This is called as it is. Not as you want it to be. Okay? If you see the body as the way you want it to be, then you are strengthening your ego, which is far away from the teaching of the Buddha. So when you are repeatedly seeing the body as it is, you have to give up your old perception of permanent happiness and self. So you die in order to reborn. You don't use your old perception, your own judgment to perceive your body. So don't see the body as the way you want it to be. You want it to be as happiness. You want it to be as permanent. You want it to be a controlling entity which you can control your physical sensation. No. If you see it in this way, then you see it according to the way you want it to be, which is opposite from the way as it is. You understand? Okay? Now I understand. Okay, now let me ask you, how should you perceive the body? Please answer. Okay, yes, you should perceive the body as it is, as impermanent, suffering, and non-self. Please bear in mind, if you can bear in mind, you will find the meditation is not difficult. You find it difficult because you do not know how to contemplate. Okay. Then second, feeling. Feeling means vedana. Vedanu pasana sati patthana. Vedana anu pasana. Vedana means feeling. Anu means repeatedly. Pasana means seeing. Not seeing with eyes. Seeing with insight. Seeing with knowledge. Jnana. So, vedanu pasana sati patthana. This is the second foundation that you can establish your mindfulness. Okay, what's the third one? Mind, citta. Different states of mind. I have mentioned yesterday. Different state of mind. In Pali we call citta. Cittu nu pasana sati patthana. Citta anu pasana. Repeatedly seeing different states of mind. So the state of the mind can become the object of your contemplation. So we must see the different state of mind as it is, as impermanent, suffering, and non-self. Not as the way you want it to be, as permanent, happiness, and self. Okay? Now come to number four. In fact, I don't want to talk about number four because number four is so profound. But since you request, Since you request, then I will talk. Okay. Number four is Dhamma Nupassana Satipatthana. Dhamma is so wide. But under this category, Buddha mentioned few. The first one is five hindrances. Five hindrances, Divarana. These five hindrances block the wisdom, block the concentration. Therefore, in order to achieve jhana and wisdom, you have to overcome these five hindrances first. What are the five hindrances? Number one, sensual desire. Kamu chanda divarana. Sensual desire, including what? Including longing for the good food in Malaysia. Longing for the food. It's also a type of sensual desire. Longing for good touch, soft touch on the bed and so on. It's called sensual desire. Okay, number one. Second, ill will. Vyapada divarana. Ill will, anger. What you want to do cannot be completed, so you have anger. What you expect to get, you cannot get it. Then you have anger. Or when sitting on a chair and the pain causes some irritation in your mind, there is also anger. That irritation make you stuck because that irritation annoyed the mind. So we cannot make further progress. This is the second one. The third one is what? Restless and remorse. Restless and remorse. Udecha kukucha. Udecha kukucha nivarana. Udecha, restless, is so difficult to overcome. The mind is constantly in a state of restlessness. Without mindfulness, concentration, you may not be able to see it, how restless the mind is. We may think, no, my mind is very calm. No, sorry. I give you a story. In Burma, there was a lay person. He invited many monks come for house dana. And many laymen join in, give some money to join, to participate in the dana. So on that day, many monks come and many lay person also come and give him the money. And so after the dana, then the monk give a talk, usually, or before dana or after dana. Before the dana, the monk give a talk first to inspire the lay person. Then in olden time, according to Burmese tradition, they put some offering. One is coconut and with some banana in front of the table, okay? And the monk holding a fan, cover his face. Don't know why, cover his face. But the fan in front of him has a fan with a hole. So while giving a talk, the monk, through the hole, he see the fruit, the banana and the coconut in front of him. And after the talk, finished the talk, then the monk asked the layperson, the person in charge who invited him, the monk for dana, the monk asked him, what do you think about my talk? Sometimes people want to listen some praise. So what do you think about my talk? And the layman said that, Mante, I'm so sorry. My mind is occupied with counting my money, how much I get today from the other people. So my mind just think of how much I get and keep on counting the money. I don't even listen one of your word. I'm so sorry. This shows what? The mind is always in a state of restlessness. Although he sit there for an hour to listen to the talk. But after the talk, he can't even remember one word. This means that the mind is not in the present moment at all, right? It's thinking thinking about, even for an hour. Then he said that, Mante, I'm so sorry. Why not you repeat the talk to me personally? You repeat the talk to me personally. And the monk is very honest. He said that, when I'm giving a talk, my eyes see through the hole and see the fruit in front of me. My mind is just thinking, are they going to fry the banana or not? when can I get a fly banana, you know, fly banana? So my mind just keep on thinking how I'm going to enjoy the fruits. I also forget what I talk. This also shows that the mind is easily distracted when the senses come to contact with external objects. This is the nature of restlessness. When the moment the senses come to the contact with the object, a respective object, the mind is in a state of restlessness unless you applied mindfulness. So long you do not have mindfulness, your mind just wander here and there. You don't even know. For this reason, we have to come back to the breath at all time. Breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. So that when your eyes see something you do not see clearly, then your mind will not get distracted. So this is called kukucha, uddacha and kukucha, restless and remorse. And the fourth hindrances, sloth and torpor. Sloth and torpor, yesterday I shared with you already, when sloth and torpor arises, Dhamma Nupassana. How to contemplate? You just watch it. Watch the sloth and torpor. Don't think that you are sleepy. If you think that I'm sleepy, then gradually you doze off. You see the sloth and torpor as phenomena. You see the sloth and torpor as phenomena that arise due to certain causes.
Sorry, when is the ending?
So the fourth Nivarana, sloth and torpor, Thinna Middha. The last one is, okay, come back to the sloth and torpor. You must perceive the sloth and torpor as an object. Object of your contemplation. You don't think the sloth and torpor is yourself. I am sleepy. If you think in this way, you will be carried away by the sloth and torpor. You just see it as a phenomena that is occurring at your mind at this moment. And watch it, mindful of it, then your mind will be clear again. Try it out. This is a very effective way. And the last one, skeptical doubt. You doubt about yourself, about the Dhamma, about the Buddha, about the Dhamma, about the Sangha. For Asian, we have less doubt because Asian have more faith. So they have less doubt. But for Westerner, they have strong doubt because they are not born in Buddhist country. So many things they don't understand well. Therefore, they have a lot of doubt. So these five hindrances, Nivarana, are under the Dhamma Nupassana, contemplation on the Dhamma. So whenever these five hindrances arise in your mind, watch it, mindful of it. Mindful of the five hindrances, mindful of it. Don't think as mine. My sensual desire, my anger, my sloth and torpor, my restlessness. Don't think in this way. If you think in this way, you cannot escape from being oppressed by all these hindrances. So you regard, although these five hindrances become, although these five hindrances are the obstacles that need to be overcome, but these five hindrances also can become the object of contemplation. If you know how to contemplate them well, then you transform the obstacles into the path of enlightenment. So when you watch it, mindful of it, gradually you will see it passes, arises, passes away, arises, passes away. Then your perception, your old perception that they are permanent, start to change. You die in order to reborn, to see things in new way, according to the truth, right? So don't be afraid of five hindrances when they arise. What should you afraid is losing your mindfulness. As long as you are mindful of these five hindrances, you can turn, change them to become the factors of enlightenment. Therefore, these five hindrances are under Dhamma contemplation, Dhamma nupassana satipatthana. Okay? There is only one category. The second one is more profound. I try my best to explain to you and up to your intelligence to understand. Okay? The second one is contemplate five aggregates of clinging. If you don't understand five aggregates, how I'm going to continue? Okay, five aggregates. What are the five aggregates? Khanda, Panchu, Pancha Khanda. What are the five aggregates? First one? Form. Body is only concept, form, material, matter. Number two? Perception, vedana. Vedana first, feeling. Okay. Number three? Perception. Number four? Sanya. Number three called sanya. Number four? Sankara, formations. Number five, fifth, vinyana, consciousness. Okay, please repeat. Rupa khanda. Rupa khanda means form. Vedana khanda. Sanya khanda. Sankara khanda. Vinyana khanda. Okay, rupa khanda is form. Vedana, feeling. Sanya, perception. Sankara, formation. Vijnana, consciousness. Okay, these five aggregates are ultimate truth. The body is only concept. The body is made up, is composed by four elements. Number one, earth element, Pathavi Dhatu. Please say, Pathavi Dhatu, earth element. Apo Dhatu, water element. Pathavi Apo, Tejo Dhatu, fire element. Last one, Vayo Dhatu, wind or air element. So, when we say Rupa Khanda, form. Form is ultimate truth. Body is only concept. So the body consists of these four elements. And these four elements are called Rupa Khanda. Okay, clear? Okay. Vedana Khanda. When for example, the pain arises in the body, the pain arises in the body, who feels the pain? Who feels the pain? Body feel the pain? Feeling, okay, we want precise answer. Feeling, dukkha, vedana, feels the pain. We have three types of vedana, sukha, vedana, pleasant feeling, dukkha, vedana, unpleasant feeling, adukha, masukha, vedana. Neither pleasant nor unpleasant, or called neutral feeling. So when the pain arises in your body, you should ask you a question. Who feels the pain? Who? Okay, good answer. Please apply in your meditation, okay? Don't give me the answer, but don't know how to apply. Then, okay? So when you feel the pain, you must tell yourself, ask yourself a question first. Who feels the pain? If you say mind, it's also correct, but not precise. You should say, even you say Vedana, also not precise. Why? Because pleasant feeling cannot feel the pain. Only unpleasant feeling feels the pain. So you should answer, who feels the pain? Dukkha Vedana, unpleasant feeling feels the pain. So every time when the pain arises in you, if your mind can answer, it is only unpleasant feeling that feels the pain. Every time it arises, you can apply the same answer, then gradually your perception of self will become less and less and less. This is how you experience non-self of phenomena. When the pain arises in you, you hate it, you develop aversion, you don't like it. This is called reaction. You are not meditating at all. You are not mindful of your pain at all. You are reacting to the phenomena that arise in the body. That reacting is ordinary person's action, not a yogi, not a practitioner. Okay? Therefore, when a pain arises in the body, how should you perceive it? Yes, good. Key into your computer mind, okay? Unpleasant feeling is feeling the pain. So every time it arises, you say the same thing and try to feel it as non-self, just a feeling. Feeling is just a mental state. Every time, if you can feel in this way, gradually your perception of self will become less and less. Your ego will become less and less, less and less. Okay, this is the way we call Dhamma Nupassana Satipatthana. How to contemplate the Dhamma. Okay, the third one. When a pain arises in you, who perceives the pain? Who perceives the pain?
Perception.
Very good, you are very receptive. Okay, I can go deep already. Okay, perception, sanya perceives the pain. So you tell, sanya perceive the pain. Sanya perception is just a mental factor. This mental factor is keep on changing and it's not a permanent self that you previously think it is. Previously you say, I perceive the pain, I perceive the pain. Because of that, your meditation gets stuck because you always use the I, self, perceive things. So now you change. You die in order to reborn. You use new way of mind to perceive things according to the truth. So you see, perception perceive the pain. Perception perceive the pain. And is it perception a self or not?
No.
Yes, you got it? No. So every time you perceive in this way, then gradually your perception of self will become less. Okay. Now, when the pain arises in you, now we come to formation. How the sankhara works. We have five panchakanda. Let me repeat again. I hope you can follow. Number one is called rupakanda, form. Form aggregate. Number two, Vedana Khanda, feeling aggregate. We have talked about this. Number three, Pasanya Khanda, perception aggregate. Number four, Sankara Khanda, formation. And this is the most difficult part to explain. Okay, now when pain arises in the body, how the Sankara works? How Sankara works? Okay, sankhara formation, in this case, sankhara means acting upon the object. So the pain is the object, right? Now the pain is the object. Now the mind acting upon it. There are two ways of acting, right? First, the sankhara act upon the pain in aversion, with aversion, right? I think you experience this. So when the pain is severe, then the sankhara act upon the pain with aversion. You don't like it. You don't like the pain. Your mind is irritated with the pain. This way, this is called sankhara. Sankhara. And this way of reaction create unwholesome karma in your mind. Therefore, Buddha say, sankhara or cetana. Cetana means karma. Cetanahang bhikkhave kammang vadami. In sankhara, there are many mental states in sankhara. Cetana is the head, leader. So, cetana act upon the pain with aversion. I don't like this pain. Then you're creating unwholesome karma. This unwholesome karma will leave behind its energy along your mental stream. If it goes on, it will never die up. All karmic energy will continue. Wait for the time to ripen. So every time you react towards the pain with aversion, and you become a person with anger temperament. Anger becomes your second nature because you every time act with aversion. This is how you shape your character. Why somebody with great temperament, some with anger temperament? All this temperament is become from your own reaction. Constant the same reaction that shape your character. Is it clear? Or take some time to digest, okay? This one sankhara. But some people, when the pain arises in the leg, sankhara act upon this pain with equanimity. With equanimity. Is this equanimity an action or not? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Yes.
Good. So you act upon the pain with equanimous mind, not with aversion. So although you act upon the pain with equanimous mind, it's still called action, which is called karma in Pali. But in this case, is it wholesome karma or unwholesome karma? Wholesome karma. So you are accumulating wholesome karma. And this wholesome karma leave behind wholesome energy in your mental stream. They will follow you from life to life. So from this, you can understand how you act upon an object is very important. This is called sankhara khanda, sankhara formations. Clear? Not clear. No answer means not clear. But it's very difficult to understand in first lecture. I have to say it repeatedly until you feel boring. Then I will stop. Okay, so it's called sankhara. So no matter how you react upon the object, the pain is only one object, visible object. The eye sees an object. The way you act upon the object is called karma. Sankhara. In the sankhara, there's one cetana. Cetana means karma. So when I see an object, we always react with like or dislike, right? Or when the ear hears something, we act with like and dislike. When the tongue tastes something, we act with like and dislike. So we are acting. Upon the object all the times, right? All the times. Not only I, nose, tongue, body, mind. We are acting upon the objects all the time. What does it mean? What does it mean? It means that we are creating the karma all the time. There's no way to escape from it unless you become arahant. Unless you become arahant, you act with the object with kriya citta, functional consciousness that does not create any karma. So long you are the worthy person, or Sotapanna, or Sakadagami, or Anagami, we are creating the karma all the time. Therefore, the storage of karma are full of what? Full of wholesome and unwholesome karma as well, both. But someone's store has more wholesome karma. Someone's storeroom has more unwholesome karma. So when unwholesome karma ripen, you suffer the up and down. You suffer the loss of many things in your life. The loss of relative, the loss of your property, the loss of your peace, the loss of your job, and so on. In other words, we always say that now I am in low karma. Because all our unwholesome karma at this time just ripen. So you have to accept it with what? With equanimity. If you do not accept it, but you hate it, why I'm so unlucky, why I'm so unfortunate, you hate all the happenings, then you create another karma again, another bad karma. With hate again. Then you put the hate into your store again. Your store have more and more unwholesome karma. But if you act it, you act upon the suffering in your life with equanimity and with understanding, this is the ripening of my past unwholesome karma. Everybody have this, including me. Sometimes my life also can go down. So I understand, this is the ripening of unwholesome karma. Then do more good. If you do more good when your life is low, when your life is down, you do more good, then you uplift your life again. Just like for example, this bowl, is you put water and you put salt, a pinch of salt, put inside. Will it taste salty or not? Yes, salty. How can you dilute the salty water? Put more water. So put more water means do more good things. Do more wholesome things that you can dilute your unwholesome resultant effect. So don't pray for a God, please save me. No. You got to save yourself. In the teaching of the Buddha, one is one's own refuge. Buddha in Mahaparinibbana Sutta, Buddha say, don't find other refuge. Make yourself your own island. You got to depend on your own wholesome karma to live happily. But once a while, unwholesome karma, don't find refuge in yourself. Be island unto yourself. Make yourself your own island. This said in Mahaparinibbana Sutta, before Buddha passed away. So it means that depend on your own good karma. So sometimes if the life full of suffering, the suffering will not be permanent. Because our storeroom also got some good karma. We have both wholesome and unwholesome. Because along the life of samsara, sometimes we do good, sometimes we do bad. When you associate with good person, then you do good more. You do more good things. When you associate with evil person, then you get affected and you do more unwholesome deeds. Then you storage. You store a lot of unwholesome karma. Therefore, don't feel downhearted when an unwholesome resultant happen in you at this moment. You accept it with equanimity and with understanding the law of karma. And the law of karma is also impermanent, right? The law of karma is also not lasting. It will change also. From the bad resultant, sometimes the good karma you done in the past just ripen, then you are your life is lifted up. So face the up and down of life with equanimity and with understanding. Now this is called sankhara. How you react to the object, how you face your life, that reaction is called formation, it's called sankhara. Okay, is it clear, sankhara? Okay, now the last one, viññāṇa. Viññāṇa, consciousness. What's the meaning of, what's the characteristic of consciousness? Consciousness has the characteristic of knowing an object, just know. Consciousness does not react. Who reacts? Good, sankhara reacts. Consciousness does not react. Consciousness only know, just know. When the pain arises, just know. Know only, nothing else. But consciousness is the forerunner. Knows only, then we react. Right? So if you can establish your consciousness without cling, if your consciousness cling, for example, the pain arises, the consciousness knows and further cling to the pain as I, myself, then the new five aggregates are built up. If your consciousness does not cling to any object, as I, myself, when you cling to the object, the pain, or the happiness, the sorrow in life, if that consciousness cling, of course, consciousness cannot cling. Sankhara clings, but to make you understand only. So if consciousness does not cling to anything, whatever object that arises from your senses, the consciousness just know, and the formation, the sankhara does not cling to the object as my. When you cling, when the sankhara clings to the object as my, this means that you are developing craving. Tanha. My. This is a sign of craving, tanha. So, and if the consciousness cling to the object as I or myself, this is what? This is called wrong view of self, right? We call ditti. Ditti. Therefore, why we should contemplate the object as the way is, as impermanent, suffering and non-self. Simply want to get rid of the craving and wrong view of self. So the consciousness just know, does not cling to anything as I, myself. Only then the new aggregate will not be built up again. Any single moment of clinging to the object as I, myself, the new five aggregates are building up. So long we are not yet arahant, we are constantly clinging to the object as I, myself. What does it mean? This means that we are constantly building up the new five aggregates. I think it's too deep for you already. Is it too deep, too profound? No. Okay, good. I think I underestimate your intelligence. Okay. So these are the five aggregates of clinging. So when it comes to practical experience, whatever phenomena arise in you, you first understand. If it arises in the body, know this only element, right? Element, stickiness or stiffness, hardness, stiffness, all these are earth element. So you contemplate it by way of element. Only then you will not cling to the body as I, myself. And further on, when this unpleasant feeling arises in your body, you see, it's only unpleasant feeling, feels the unpleasant feeling. Then you tell yourself, it's the perception who perceive this happiness. The perception who perceive this is suffering. Perception, further you can contemplate, perception is neither a self. Then furthermore, how you act upon the object. This is called formation, sankhara. And the mind, vijnana, knows the object only. Don't cling to the object as I, mind, myself. If you can contemplate in this way, this is called Dhamma Nupassana Satipatthana. As you request me to explain. Okay, I think we stop here. Tomorrow, we will continue.
Can you repeat again this one?
Dhamma. Nupassana. Dhammu pasana. You say Dhamma Nupassana Satipatthana. Contemplation on Dhamma. Tomorrow, I will link these five aggregates to Four Noble Truths. As a practitioner, if we don't understand Four Noble Truths, our practice is fruitless, no fruitful. So tomorrow, I will link this to Four Noble Truths. Okay? So we stop here, and I open for discussion. Okay? Ananda, yes? Yep.
If the sankhara is the one that's reacting, vijnana is not doing anything. How does it?
Okay, I understand. Okay, but in the dependent origination, avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana, avijja paccaya sankhara. Avijja and sankhara, this refer to past life. Past life. Avijja, because in the past life, we don't understand. What is the meaning of avijja? Ignorant. What is the meaning of ignorant? There are two meanings. Ignorance, avijja, mean not seeing correctly. Not seeing all phenomena as impermanent, suffering, and non-self. So not seeing correctly, not only that, but also seeing wrongly. So ignorant got two meaning. First, not seeing correctly. Second, seeing wrongly. Not only not seeing correctly, but also seeing wrongly, all phenomena are permanent happiness and self. So because of this not seeing clearly, we perform action, which is called sankhara. So avijja paccaya sankhara. Not seeing correctly, we perform action. This action called karma. As I say, every karma, whether good or bad, leave behind karmic energy. And this karmic energy, when ripened, it produces new life. The new life, the first moment of one's new life is called consciousness. That's all. Therefore, avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana. This is called vijnana, rebirth consciousness. When rebirth consciousness arises, then other consciousness will follow. Eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose, tongue, body, and so on. This is the meaning. Okay? So, no conflict. Okay? Any question?
Yes. Regarding yesterday, it was not about the topic, but everything, as I understand, is, for example, when we are meditating, if it's a sound or something happening around us, it bothers us.